Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by top London Japan enthusiast, man, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Yeah, all right. What's going on, like?
The indecipherable accent of Hartlepool.
Someone's just added me on Twitter. Get this. Game developer and computer science graduate. My hobbies. I love to write and play games. I'm currently learning Japanese, Mandarin Chinese, piano and some Muay Thai.
He sounds better than all of us combined.
He sounds very, I would call that very ambitious.
Whenever I hear about your Twitter, I get a little bit sad, depressed and angry. Because
Why?
You are Twitter verified and I'm not.
I can't get Instagram verified though, can I?
Ha! Good.
Unbelievable. Are you Instagram verified?
No.
Ah, yours. Double up yours. We're both in the gutter staring at the stars.
We're nothing.
Scumbags, aren't we? Absolute scumbags.
Until I get verified, I'm nothing.
No. Without you, I'm nothing. What was that?
Without
Placebo?
You,
was that banned by, was song by Placebo? Anyway, how are you, Chris? You
all right? I'm good. I'm rather good.
You sound a bit not good.
No,
don't worry.
The coffee's run out. Today.
Yes.
Justice.
Justice,
we don't
delicious.
Often dedicate these podcasts to certain topics, but I feel there's one that's been quite pervasive, quite, you know, one that's dominated headlines, not only in Japan, but also around the world recently.
Yeah.
And that is Carlos Ghosn.
The Gormster.
Carlos Ghosn.
He is a man on the run. I
in Lebanon.
It. Yes.
Yes. Now, Japan's justice system's been under scrutiny for many years. The way it's often referred to as being a hostage justice system. Hitojichi Shicho. No, sorry. Hito. It's quite hard to pronounce. Hitoji. I can't pronounce
Hitoji.
It. It's a, you know, it's a bit of a tongue twister. Hitojichi Shicho. It means hostage justice.
Okay.
Because in Japan, suspects can be detained up to 23 days before indictment.
That's bad, isn't it? That's,
and often what will happen is you'll be detained for 23 days. You'll walk out of the jail out of the police station, and then they'll rearrest you straight away for something else, and you're back in and do it all over again.
Right.
Until they get a confession out of you. It's a little bit dodgy. It is the... I remember when I first moved to Japan, I didn't know anything about this. I read about it, I learned about it. I was scared. Mm. Now, I'm not someone who breaks the law.
Really?
I'm trying to think if I... No, I haven't.
You ever broken the law?
I haven't broke the law.
You literally... You got a ticket, parking ticket, when I was
because
there.
Because of you, yeah. All right, I broke the law once because I went 5 kilometres over the speed limit because Pete Donaldson was talking loudly in the car. And I was driving and I got arrested. No, I didn't get arrested.
Bad boy. Such just a bad got a boy. Ticket. What a bad boy.
That's not breaking the law. That's just... yeah. But anyway.
Bit of fun, innit?
I'm all right. Carlos Ghosn. We're going to talk about him today, what he's done. Because it is a story... of corruption, money, power, cars and daring escapes.
Sex?
And Lebanon.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's a remarkable story. You know, it's better than most films that I've seen recently, including Star Wars Rise of Disappointment.
If there is a situation or a scene that could possibly be written where a man reportedly escapes a house in a music box, I am yet to hear it and I'm excited by it.
Yeah, I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, I think it's a Wednesday or Thursday, actually Carlos Ghosn is doing a press release talking about what happened and how he escaped. And there's, I think we kind of know how, now how he did it. But today we want to talk about his history, what he did, why he was in prison, and then his escape, because it is an incredible story.
We've turned it into a true crime podcast.
A true crime the podcast. Carlos Ghosn. For some reason, whenever I say Carlos Ghosn, I think of scones.
Right.
It's Carlos Ghosn.
Ghosn.
I think now Carlos Ghosn has escaped Japan and the justice system, he can get on with making the scones we deserve.
Gone, baby, gone.
Carlos Ghosn. Mm. But anyway, Carlos Ghosn aside, who is Carlos Ghosn? Once upon a time, there was a French family that moved to Brazil.
Right.
And they gave birth to Carlos Ghosn. And he's got quite a complex history.
Right.
Brazilian, French, Lebanese. He's had it all. Mm. But he was born in Brazil, and the first job he had was for Michelin Tire Company, the world's second largest tire company after Bridgestone, Japanese company. Michelin Tires in France. He was famous for turning companies around, and he did it. First off, he turned around Michelin. He was the CEO, the chief operations officer of Michelin's South American operations by the age of 30.
Right.
1 year older than I am now.
He's the Sam Allardyce of, if you know football.
I don't know what that is.
He helps teams avoid relegation, but can't really do much else.
Brilliant. Mm. Well, Carlos Ghosn did that, but in South America for Michelin. He turned the operations around in the 90s, brought the company back from the brink. And in 1990, he became the CEO of Michelin's entire North American operations, turned that around. In 1996, he joined Renault, the French car company. Mm. And in 1999, Renault bought a 36% stake in Nissan, the Japanese car giant. At the time, Nissan was on its way out, actually. The car company was looking pretty bad. It was like Nissan was at death's door, effectively. It had been running to the ground poorly. But he became president and CEO in 2001, and that is the bit where his legendary kind of status kicked off, where
right.
He became this legend. In the early 2000s, when he took on this position, Nissan was at death's door, had $20 billion of debt. Only 3 of its 46 car models were turning a profit, and everyone said that it was impossible to save the company. It had kind of this entrenched management system in Japan, where you just can't really do anything without offending someone. Mm. So managers weren't making the necessary decisions to keep the business alive. Ghosn did something rather radical. He cut 21,000 people from the workforce. Mm, he auctioned off. What were you going to say there?
It doesn't sound like you're the nicest chap. Just get rid of everyone. Get rid of everyone. Streamline
How many should we get rid of? 21,000.
Streamline
what?
It.
He got rid of 21,000 people. He auctioned off Nissan's prized aerospace division. He shut down 5 Japanese plants and severed ties with suppliers. I don't know if you're familiar with the Kairetsu system. Do you know what that is? Kairetsu?
No.
In Japan, a lot of big companies kind of work together closely.
Right.
And they share suppliers and resources and profits and things. But he broke that network system. He broke the Nissan Kairetsu up and offended a lot of organisations. In Japan, when you've got a company you work with, keeping that relationship is the priority above anything else. And that's why a lot of companies do go under, why a lot of Japanese companies have suffered over the years. They've been too nice. They've
They're
had
just
those
not
relationships.
Businesses.
To be, you know, to be successful in business, sometimes you do have to be a bit cutthroat.
Especially that's how all of the businesses in the world work. You know what I mean? They're quite cutthroat.
Effectively.
Quite, like, if that's not, if my bottom line isn't being wet, get rid.
And, well, I suspect that's why a lot of Japanese companies over the years, you know, in the 90s, everything was Japanese. You know, Sharp, Panasonic, Toshiba, Sony. Mm. And now kind of South Korean and Chinese companies have taken over because they're a bit more competitive, a lot more cutthroat. Mm. I like the Japanese business way of doing things is lovely in an ideal world. Let's all be friends and work together for happiness. But it just doesn't work.
It's rarely successful,
Carlos Ghosn smashed that in half and did a thing that, you know, did this kind of plan that Japanese managers simply couldn't have done. He defied etiquette by eliminating the seniority system, you know, with the age-based promotion system in Japan. Yeah. You're in a company for life. If you work at Nissan from the age of 20, you're going to be there probably till you're 65, then retire as a manager, live happily ever after.
I imagine he is the most hated man in in that business division.
Well, he carried on. He changed the official language from Japanese to English.
Right, yeah. Probably sensible.
Globalised business. And he gained the nickname Le Cost Killer.
Le Cost Killer.
I don't know if... Yeah, there you go. You captured the French accent better than I ever did. Le Cost Killer. But, remarkably, 1999, Nissan posted a net loss of $6.4 billion, a huge loss, in 2000. 1 year later, 12 months into his plan, his three-year plan, he had turned a net profit of $2.7 billion. He turned it round.
He must have sold a lot of aerospace. Must have sold a few billion.
He basically just sold the aerospace division. Nevertheless, that was quite an impressive turnaround in such a short space of time. And it wasn't a short-term change. You know, from there on, Nissan quickly became the industry's most profitable automaker. And he started winning loads of awards. So impressed and surprised was everyone in Japan that Nissan had turned around under his tenure, that they actually made an anime series about him.
Right.
What was it called? The True Life of Carlos Ghosn is what it was called. God knows who bought it.
Weird.
But it's a superhero manga series made about his life and how he turned Nissan around.
Mummy, I want to be Carlos Ghosn, the cutthroat businessman.
Well, up until a few years ago, that would have been great. So it would take a turn. We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, his defiance of Japanese corporate values impressed many, pissed off quite a lot of people as well. But throughout most of the 2000s, he was on these top 10 lists. He was often the most powerful businessman in the car industry. In 2004, he received the prestigious Blue Ribbon Medal from Emperor Akihito.
This is a no businessmen who are ruthless in Japan. Yeah. A man just comes in, cuts costs, gets rid of a lot of the workforce and just goes, "Look, can we just run this like a business, please? Can we just run this like every other business in the world? Because the globalisation, everyone has to work together. You have to be competitive. It's not just about Japan. Let's just have a business."
And that's why if you went to Japan and became a businessman, you would win.
Yeah.
You could change things.
Cutthroat popcorn salesman in
he went Akihabara. Downing beer in the corner. In 2006, he was made an honorary knight commander of the Order of the British Empire.
Oh.
Didn't even know that was still a thing.
No.
The British Empire.
Well, hand them out for anything.
And then in 2017, as CEO, he kind of stepped down and retired to Brazil to live a happy retirement. Live happily ever after.
Ooh.
Except he didn't, did he? Because in November 2018, as his private jet landed at Haneda Airport, he was arrested, thrown in jail, and the last year he's been at the very forefront of white-collar crime in Japan. There's not a day that I've not heard his name. There's not a day that I've not seen a newspaper article about him. And it is an interesting story that culminated most recently, just the other week, with him escaping Japan. And now I'll hand it over to you, Pete. What do you know?
Well, I follow NHK and a couple of other Japanese news sources online, and they are obsessed with this story. I mean, it must be like David Beckham getting arrested. Or like, who's the Virgin guy?
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, like Richard Branson getting arrested.
I suppose. I mean, Carlos Ghosn is always held up as this great businessman who'd done wonderful things. And
yeah.
To be fair, he did. But then it sounds like greed got the better of him. So he got arrested 19th November 2018. Just two or three days later, Nissan's board dismissed him as the chairman of Nissan. And he was accused of underreporting earnings and misusing company assets. At first, they had these lots of conspiracies popped up. They said that they wanted to oust Carlos Ghosn because he was overseeing both Renault and Nissan at the time, and Renault had a 36% stake in Nissan that they'd bought back in the late 90s. But by this point, Nissan was much more profitable and successful. Nissan was a bit resentful towards the French company Renault for having so much power and influence on their organisation, and Ghosn, I think he wanted to bring the companies together more, it was reported. But then it turned out that Ghosn had actually spent a lot of money in a way that he probably shouldn't. Like, reports started coming out that he'd spent $18 million of company money on his houses in Rio de Janeiro, Beirut, Paris, and Amsterdam. Quite a lot of houses for one man, admittedly.
Yep.
He'd been charging family expenses, renovating his home at a cost of $15 million with Nissan money.
That's a lot.
In the US, he paid $16 million to settle charges of financial fraud after concealing more than $90 million of compensation from public disclosure. And finally, Renault, the French company, stood by him for the first month or two, and then finally they dropped him as chairman and CEO in January 2019 after unearthing €11 million of questionable expenses.
I can't get a train ticket expensed. Imagine that. €11 million. More impressive if they say it in yen as well. Ridiculous amounts of money.
It is a lot of money.
Amazing.
That he got away with. But, you know, at first I got caught up in it when I was hearing all these conspiracies. Mm. It did sound like Ghosn had been set up. His successor, whose name I can't recall, he had a Japanese successor, Nissan, he kind of instated, put in position, and then he stepped away from the position of CEO in 2017, and this guy ran it for a first year. Mm. It sounds like there was a bit of animosity between the two.
Right, okay.
But so nevertheless, they unearthed a lot of things about Carlos Ghosn during that year.
Mm.
I suspect he knew Carlos Ghosn was doing things that were questionable.
Would Carlos Ghosn just be sort of like, look, I turned your bloody place around. I turned your company around. If I want to expense for a meal deal at Marks and Spencer's or the Co-op, I should be allowed to.
Perhaps. And maybe that's acceptable, but not when we're talking tens of millions of dollars.
Come on. That's chump change.
Being a bit greedy now.
Chump change,
being
mate.
Being a bit greedy.
Chump change.
But there was, it was said that, you know, Carlos Ghosn got buggered for this, but none of the Japanese board members did.
Right, okay.
So there was some people saying, well, this is a little bit dodgy.
Mm.
Is it because he's foreign that he's getting, you know, he's being set up for this?
Or the student has decided to be ruthless and take on the master and take him down.
Effectively, yeah, his mentor. Yeah, there's a lot of dodgy things at play here. But it does sound like he genuinely did steal lots of money. The fact that he was prosecuted in the US, Renault in France prosecuted him, and now as well in Japan, it feels like, you know, there's only, it seems pretty clear.
The net sort of closed in on him a little bit.
Exactly. Mm. So at first I thought, oh, it's a conspiracy. They're just setting up the foreign guy to fool. And a lot of foreigners kind of supported him. They were like, oh, you know, Japan's justice system is a little bit dodgy. It has like a 99% conviction rate, right?
Yeah.
If you're indicted for something, there is no defence. You're basically stuffed.
Mm. I mean, the difference between you get a parking ticket or, you know, if you're arrested for, I don't know, public drunkenness or something, probably different to embezzling.
They do take corporate things very seriously in Japan. If you've lost money for the company in a questionable way, it's fine. But if you're seen to be like enriching yourself using the company, it's seen as being very bad, especially in a collectivist society like Japan, where everyone's kind of seen to be pulling together to work as a team. If you've got one person overstepping the mark, being quite individualistic and enriching themselves using the assets of a company, it's seen as a very serious thing.
They should meet our leaders in the West. All of our leaders in the West.
There you go. I mean, that's Ghosn's story. But then what's most interesting about Ghosn is what happened next. Do you know what happened next?
He was Ghosn in 50 seconds.
Hey.
60 seconds. Carlos. Where's Carlos Ghosn? Where's Carlos Ghosn?
I remember seeing it trending on Twitter. Mm. Carlos Ghosn. Hashtag.
Nice.
Hey.
Nice.
My good friend Yuki. Carlos Ghosn.
Yuki Kira.
Yes, Carlos Ghosn for the whole year. A lot of people are quite sympathetic to him because it is quite a tough system. He was there. He wasn't indicted for 23 days. He'd walk out the jail. He'd walk out the prison.
Get
rearrested. They'd be like, oh, we're arrested again now, Carlos. Back
right.
in. He'd go back in, do it all over again. He couldn't talk to his wife. He couldn't talk to his family because he's an incredibly powerful man with lots of money and lots of contacts. Like he asked Macron, Emmanuel Macron in France, who's friends with the president of France, to try and lobby Shinzo Abe, the prime minister of Japan at G7 summit. Like clearly didn't work, but he was using leveraging his powerful contacts to try and get out of it, but they weren't having it. And you know, a lot of people said maybe they're being a bit too unfair on him, but again, it depends on if you think he's guilty or not, I suppose.
Yeah.
But anyway, on December 30th, Carlos Ghosn, he randomly popped up in Lebanon, like you do.
What?
And he'd escaped Japan. And I saw an interview of his defense in Japan. And they were shocked. He had quite a strong defence. He had one of the best defence lawyers in all of Japan.
Hmm.
And he was like, wait, what? He's gone. They're like, yeah, Carlos is gone. He's in Lebanon now. Like, what? We're supposed to be defending him next Tuesday.
I got so excited. They're I gone. Hiccuped. Sorry, everyone.
But yeah, no, he escaped. And there was a lot of questions. How? How did such a famous individual get out of Japan?
Sling his hook.
Now, there were some rumours, which I like. I don't know if they're true or not. They're yet to be proven, I think. That some sort of traditional Lebanese art band, some orchestra, went round his house. Because at this point he'd been on bail.
Yeah.
I think it was a big bail. We're talking like $10 million bail.
Right.
Big bail.
Yeah. So he was, yeah.
So there was the assumption, well, he wouldn't skip on that.
Well, he had to give up his shares, didn't he, in the company?
I believe
while
so,
while he was as bail. So he ain't going to get them back.
And I think some sort of orchestra went to his house. He was back home in his big mansion. They went round there to perform music for him. And then they smuggled him out in a cello case or something.
Hmm.
Got out in a music case. Now, that, I don't know if that's true.
That's the fascinating thing, though.
That's the bit that I hope's true, but probably isn't.
Well, they sort of say it was either that or he walked out because it was seen on CCTV walking out. So probably the latter, to be honest.
Oh, was he?
It was, yeah. But apparently an employee of the company falsified documents so he could get on his private jet. Mm. And it's like, if you're like not going through airport security and, you know, you've got your own plane and stuff like that, it's so much easier to get around, isn't it?
It is so much easier to get around. Still, you know, if you're flying out on a jet, you still need to show your passport. Apparently he had a French passport on his person when he was getting out.
Cool.
But yeah, somehow he got out of his apartment, which was it was under heavy lockdown at the time. Mm. Snuck out of his apartment, got in a car, drove to Haneda Airport. No, I think he drove to Osaka. Kansai Airport.
Right.
Got on a private jet, flew to Turkey. At Turkey, he switched planes and flew to Lebanon.
Oh.
And Lebanon doesn't have an agreement with Japan. Right. Yeah, you can't extradite Carlos Ghosn from Lebanon. So it looks like he's safe.
Oh.
So if you like Carlos Ghosn, yeah, a happy ending. If you like justice, oh no.
Bugger. Justice not delicious.
Justice not delicious.
In this case.
It's yeah, it's bad. It shows that if you have enough money and contacts, you can get out of a lot of things. And presumably he would have had help. I think I read that he had some help from some paramilitary chaps who had some experience in the fields of getting out abductees and things. And they helped him get out. But, you know, he had a lot of money to be able to get those private jets set up to
fly
across.
There will be a fantastic book written about this. There'll be a fantastic film written about this. Fantastic.
Absolutely. But I do feel a bit sorry for Japan. Because it was a bit humiliating that he got away so effortlessly, it appears. Yeah. And now has escaped justice, and there's nothing they can do about it. They put out a red warrant on Interpol, the international police organization. But Interpol doesn't really have any power. Mm. I think it might be able to stop him from going into certain countries that abide by the rules. But he's escaped basically, and now Japan has to pick up the pieces. I read that they're going to have a crackdown on people having bail, which really sucks. Fuck you, Carlos Ghosn, for ruining it for everyone else. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing his story, though, and hearing how he got out.
Mm.
I think it's a bit of a shame that he got away. He got away because the more I read into it, the more it definitely sounded like he'd done some rather shady things.
Yeah.
And he did need to accept. Just because you've saved a company and you're the chairman and CEO, it doesn't give you the right to just treat the company like it's your own kingdom and steal tens of millions of dollars to build houses and buy houses across Rio de Janeiro and France and Lebanon, you know.
There's a lot of people on the Interpol's Red Notice website.
You're on there?
Yeah.
You're on there, are you?
There's some... Oh, no, I'm not on there, but I'm just saying that there's...
You should be.
I'm just saying that if I was, you wouldn't be able to find me because there's just so many... There's just so many people here.
What do you think about Carlos Ghosn, though, Mr. Donaldson?
I don't know. I think, you'd usually sort of say, oh, you know, he stole a lot of money. Obviously, he's accused of stealing a lot of money. Isn't that terrible? But then, presumably, he's already... So you'd sort of say, oh, and loads of people will lose their jobs because of that loss of money. But he'd clearly fired everyone before that. So,
well,
so
unfortunately for Nissan's fortunes have gone down. They've, I think they posted a loss or they're, you know, Nissan's going back down again.
Mm.
So a lot of people feel like, oh, yeah, without Carlos Ghosn, Nissan's stuffed. Their future's not so looking so bright now. But yeah, it's a difficult one.
Mm. Very interesting, though. A real meaty story to get your teeth into.
This podcast coming out on Thursday, just a few hours ago. By the time this podcast has come out, he will have done his press conference from the comfort of his Lebanon estate, talking about how he got out, why he got out, and his justification for it. He claims that, you know, the justice he received in Japan wasn't legal or wasn't right.
Mm.
But keep an eye out for that. I think it'll be an interesting story.
Definitely.
But there you go. Now you are basically an expert on Carlos Ghosn.
Thank you. I'm glad I can now do a CNN interview about what I know about Carlos Ghosn.
Perfect. Do it.
He was in the music box.
And this week's Speedy Japanese section. Ooh. We've brought it back for 2020. Speedy Japanese, much loved by all, refers to Carlos Ghosn.
Yeah.
I'll teach you some words, some phrases.
Okay.
Lebanon. What's Lebanon in Japanese?
It'd be just Rebanon. It's just as simple as that, really.
Do you say Rebanon?
Rebanon. Rebanon. Between L and R.
Lebanon.
Rebanon.
Rebanon.
Rebanon. Rebanon. Rebanon.
All right. What is the verb to escape?
Oh, I've not got a bloody clue.
Nigeru.
Nigeru. Nigeru.
Nigeru.
Nigeru.
Yeah, and to flee is nigedasu.
Nigedasu.
It's interesting. Nigeru is to escape, right? Dasu means to put out. And often in Japan, you kind of combine two verbs into one. So nigedasu means to kind of flee. to escape and get out. So you'd say, Lebanon ni nigedashita.
Nigedashita.
Gon-san.
He has gone.
Gon-san wa Lebanon ni nigedashita.
Or Lebanon ni nigedashitai? Would that work?
You want to escape.
I want to escape to Lebanon.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, cool.
There you go.
Sorting it out, mate.
But I often use nigeru. I don't know. I find that nigeru. A good verb.
Nigeru. Nigeru.
Nigeru.
Nigeru.
Nigeru. Nigeru. To escape.
Nigeru.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now, to the fax machine.
Hello.
What have we got
fax
this
machine.
Week? There we go. Hey, Chris. Hey, Donnie. Greetings from New Zealand. Next year, I'm taking a school exchange to Shinagawa, Tokyo. I love the podcast. I love the videos. I listen to your podcast while studying for my N5 JLPT test. which I think I should probably do, N1 this year. Mm. Two questions for you guys. What activities do you recommend around the Shinagawa area? Secondly, I'm a vegetarian and I've heard that being a vegetarian in Japan is very difficult to maintain. I'm thinking of going to the dark side, eating meat when I go. Is this advice for a person like me? What are your thoughts on my dilemma? Sayonara, I can't pronounce today. from Stanley Long in Auckland. What do you reckon, Pete?
Well, up until very recently, there was that beautiful Kowloon Wall City themed
arcade. It's gone now.
Arcade. It's gone now.
Move on.
Annoying.
Shinagawa.
What did I do there?
I don't think there's a great deal in Shinagawa, to be honest.
It's one of the sort of places that you think there isn't. There'll be like a couple of bars. Go and have a drink.
Honestly, I don't really know about
it's like a Tokyo Ward,
isn't it? I do know
really?
Sony's based there.
Oh.
If you want to go and look at Sony.
Cool.
Go and look at the Cube. Sony's in their kind of cube building.
Right, okay.
It's rather cool.
Is that their whole...
That's their world their global HQ.
Right, okay.
Maybe if you hang around the front of Sony, you can get the secrets to the new PlayStation.
Mm.
Just ask the employees. What's going on? Tell me.
Get yourself to a brew pub.
But Shinagawa is quite close to... It's on the Yamanote line. Mm. What I would do is hop on the Yamanote line, go two stops, I think, to Shinbashi, a bit further in. And there's a lot more going on there. There's lots of great bars and pubs and things, and restaurants. I love Shinbashi.
Mm.
So just get on the train, go there instead.
Smashing.
Get out of Shinagawa. As for turning vegetarian out of convenience, going to the dark side, as you put it, don't do that. You don't have to do that. There's other alternatives. You could eat fish. Oh, wait, no. What can you do, Pete? Vegetarian in Japan?
It's difficult.
I'm not the best
difficult,
guy
not
to ask this.
Lot of ramen.
Yeah, but no.
Vegetarian
but,
ramen.
I suppose.
Sometimes they use fish stock and tuna, but just...
Can you have fish stock if you're a vegetarian?
Don't get upset. Just don't get upset if it goes wrong.
Honestly, I don't know, really. There's a good vegan restaurant called T's Tun Tun.
T's
in
Tun
Tokyo Station. I often
T's
drop in there and try and trick myself into thinking it's healthy because there's no meat, even though it's incredibly salty and really unhealthy ramen, but lovely. T's Tun Tun. It's a really nice place. You find vegetarian restaurants are becoming more frequent throughout Japan.
Mm.
I think we'll address this another day, but go to T's Tun Tun, get out of Shinagawa. That's my thoughts on that, Stanley. And the last question is from... I'm trying to find it. Do you have it, Pete?
I don't actually know, but I'll happily fill.
Oh, I've got it. It's Georgia from Spain. Hi, okay. Chris and Pete. Big fan of the YouTube channel and the podcast. I'm moving to Japan in autumn and they're keeping me focused and excited for the big move. I have a question I'm not sure you can help me with, as I know you're both fans of the old alcoholic beverage, Pete Donaldson in particular.
How rude.
I don't drink for health reasons. And I'm a little worried that I'm going to be like a rare unicorn in Japan, as it seems that everyone drinks. Alcohol seems a big part of the culture and social scene, and I'm worried I might have to refuse a complimentary drink and offend someone, or be in a scenario where my limited Japanese can't explain why I don't want to drink. Am I going to be a total social outcast if I order juices at bars? Am I going to struggle to make friends? Any advice you can give me or phrases I could learn would be great. Thanks a lot, Georgia from Spain. Two words, or one word, Georgia. Mocktail. Mocktails. Get cocktails that have no alcohol in. That's my new favourite thing.
Have a cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
Oh, well, not a cup of tea.
Can't stand in a bar with a cup of tea.
There's a cup of tea.
You'll
love.
Be thrown out on the street.
There's a cup of tea, love.
Have a mocktail.
Have a mocktail.
I love mocktails. All the fun of a cocktail without the alcoholic guilt. No, I don't. People don't judge. I've got this photo of my phone come up with your face.
Oh, hello.
People don't judge you in Japan for not drinking alcohol.
Mm.
It's quite all right. Don't worry about it. It's not going to stand in the way of anything. I drink alcohol because it helps me let my hair down sometimes. Mm. I try not to drink as much as I used to. Two or three drinks is enough for me. And I'd like sake. I like the taste of sake.
Yeah.
You know. But no, honestly,
it stops the voices, man.
It's not going to get in the way of a trip, Georgia, or anybody. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. And if you want to go and get a non-alcoholic drink, what do you know what the phrase is for non-alcoholic drink?
No, I don't actually. What is it?
Can't remember. I should know that.
Did you write it down for this very email?
I did not. I think it's literally like...
No booze for me, please.
Done.
Do you? I wonder if they're doing it for health reasons. Do they come out with like a red rash if they drink any alcohol?
Who?
Some people do.
Well, Ryotaro.
Really?
If he drinks any alcohol, he turns into a strawberry.
Big red man.
There you go.
I see.
But there you go, ladies and gentlemen. As always, many thanks for joining us on this week's podcast. We'll be back same time to do it next week. But for now, keep the stories, comments, questions coming into a Born Japan podcast. Have a great week. See you next Thursday. Play the music. Love that song.
I forgot then.
You forgot the music.
I know.
This is terrible. This song. Never on the years.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.